Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. I have a little penny here. And guess whose picture's on it? The Queen. Does she care that I have this penny? Maybe she'd rather have my $50 bill. Her picture's on that too. And on all of our money. Does it all belong to the Queen? This is the idea that Jesus gave us. For he asked for a coin. You've got some old coins pictured on your bulletin today. And invariably the ruler's picture, image, and name is on it. Does it all belong to Caesar? At tax time we think it all belongs to the government. But what about my money? What do I get to keep? What belongs to me? That is the portion of our income that we care the most about. But if you think about it, every single penny has somebody's name on it. Whether it's the grocery store or the insurance company. Maybe you paid cash for your car, but you can't drive it unless you pay the insurance company. There's all kinds of things that are coming to us for our money, and it almost feels as though we're working for Caesar, working for anybody but ourselves. And in the end, when it comes down to it, if we manage to save 10 or 25 or 50% of all that we've earned, on the day that we pass away, it all goes to someone else. How can we not render everything to Caesar? If we render something to God, what belongs to God? What is Jesus saying when he says, give Caesar what is Caesar's and give God what is God's? Is he saying that everything belongs to God? And those who know it best are those that have a relationship with God that knows him as a beneficial and generous Father. Maybe if God controlled my finances, and I followed the scriptures when they talk about money, that's one of the most prevalent themes in scripture, is money. Would God see that I got something if I gave it all over into his control? Would there be no taxes if everything belonged to God? He would pay all my taxes for me? Well, hardly. Because God ordained the government. And he decided that we would have governments in order to protect and prosper our communities. So there would be taxes to pay. And would we have no expenses? Would I just open up the refrigerator and it'd be full all the time? No, I'd still have to go and take what I had earned and purchase things. Would God expect me to give everything to the church? No. The church doesn't need all of our income. The church is here as a cooperative effort to shine the light of God's Word in our community. So it does cost something, but it doesn't cost everything that we have. God provides for our lives here through our income. And God provides for our eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't spare his own son. He gave him up for us all. And how will he not, along with Jesus, give us everything else? I'm going to give you a chance to look at a video today. And it stars Dave Ramsey. I don't know if any of you have heard of Dave Ramsey. He's well-known in the media, the radio. And Dave is a Christian, and he has developed a program called Financial Peace University. And whether or not you participate in that, I think you'll benefit from what he has to say about the situation that we're in with money.
Please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and New York Times best-selling author, Dave Ramsey.
Thanks so much. Welcome to Financial Peace University. Financial Peace, two words that don't go together, like airline service. We're so glad you're here. I know some of you didn't want to be here tonight. Some of you, your spouse or your friend or your parents or your kids drug you here against your will. Some of you just don't want any part of this deal. Some of you, if you hear Dave Ramsey say it one more time, you're going to kill something. I know you didn't want to be here. I was out in the parking lot a while ago. I saw several sets of heel prints on the way in. And you were brought in here against your will. I got to tell you, if that's you, I'm more on your team than that nerd that brought you. Okay? Because I have done stupid with zeros on the end. I know what it feels like to have done stupid stuff with money. How many of you have ever done anything really stupid? Raise your hand. How many of you didn't raise your hand have a problem with lying? How many of you are like me, you've done something stupid, but you weren't just stupid, you were like enthusiastically stupid. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's like you're riding along and the speedometer on the car says, you know, 80 miles an hour, I'm driving, my wife's looking at the map, she says, honey, we're going the wrong way. I said, yeah, but we're making great time. Well, that's what happened to me. I grew up not rich. How many of you grew up not rich? Yeah. And I remember coming in about 12 years old, asking my dad, I said, Dad, I need some money to go down to the Quicksack. We used to ride our bicycles down to the Quicksack over in Antioch, Tennessee. And we'd ride our bicycles down there and get an Icy or a Snickers bar or that $4.95 necklace out of the plexiglass showcase for that sweetie. You know what I'm talking about. I said, Daddy, I need some money. He said, how old are you? I said, I think I'm your son. I'm 12. He said, well, you don't need money. You need a job. And I got to learn about cutting grass that year. Oh, joyful. Any of you ever cut grass for some money? So that's the kind of house I grew up in. If you learn how to get up, leave the cave, kill something, and drag it home. And so when I got out of school at 22 years old, met my beautiful wife, Sharon, and we got started with our lives, we started off broke. Most people start off broke. How many of y'all start off broke? One lady's like, I'm still there. We started off broke, you know. We were eating off a card table, driving a 1902 Pinto, you remember. We ain't got money, honey, but we got love. It's a good thing, too, because we ain't got no money. And I started buying and selling real estate, and I got rich. At least by a kid from Antioch, Tennessee standards. By the time I was 26 years old, I had a little over $4 million worth of real estate, a little over $1 million net worth, and I was making about $250,000 a year. Now, that's fun. That's like $20,000 a month income. And where I come from, that's rich. We were having a blast. I mean, we went to Hawaii and we liked it, so we went back. I went and got me one of those cars. Oh, you know, you got that car you dreamed about that if you ever got some money, I'd get that car. For me, it was a Jaguar. I needed a Jaguar. I went and got me a Jaguar, and man, within 90 days, I was a Jaguar. bought my wife some of those sparkly things, you know, and they weren't big enough, so we got her some more. It was fun. You know, sometimes I hear those people say, all those rich people are miserable. Now, I'm not shallow enough theologically or philosophically to tell you that money's going to make you happy. It won't make you happy. But like my friend Zig Ziglar says, he says, if you can't afford the Tylenol, if you got a headache and you got a little bit of money, it gives you the wiggle room in life to make some choices. And that's what we're going to do spending our time together. We're going to learn about making some of those choices. And it's about kind of finding our way and knowing, you know, how truth really works. You know, 98% truth doesn't work, does it? 98% truth. Truth is a what? It's a lie. Because you see, something either is the truth, or by definition, it isn't the truth. And what happened to me was, I ended up having all that wealth and doing all that stuff right, but I did some stupid stuff. I signed up for a bunch of debt, and the bank got sold to another bank. I know that never happens where you come from. They change the signs like off of Velcro, don't they? They change them so fast. You know, the guys that were in another city now are making the decisions, and they look down and say, hey, there's a kid here 26 years old, owes us $1 million, and they freaked out and called our notes. And we spent the next 2.5 years of our life losing everything we owned. We were sued a bazillion times. We were sued so much, the little guy with the sheriff's department that brings the little pink lawsuit papers, we're like on a first name basis with the old boy, you know. Sharon's making him cookies, you know. Come on in, Harold, you know. We were foreclosed on a bunch of times. We had a bunch of real estate. We ended up losing it a piece of time. And that 2.5 years was unbelievable. I remember standing with a shower so hot I couldn't stand it in my face, and I would just stand there and cry. I was so scared. And finally, with a brand new baby and a toddler and a marriage hanging on by a thread, we hit bottom and we were bankrupt. I was on one of these TV shows the other day, and one of these talking heads said, so how did you bounce back? And I said, well, you know, really, when you fall that far, you really don't bounce. More of a splat, you know. And so I laid around at the bottom of that mess and cried and whined and moaned and blamed everybody else. You ever blame anybody else when you do something stupid? Yeah, it turns out McDonald's does serve hot coffee, you know? It's all my fault. Like my dad used to say, you shot it, Tarzan, you eat it. So there I sat at the bottom of that mess. And I decided I was going to learn how money really works. Not what someone's opinion is. Not what your broke brother-in-law thinks. You know, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about your Chamber of Commerce ideas. I'm not mad at the Chamber of Commerce, but I've heard all that garbage. And I got to thinking about it. I want to learn how this deal really works. And I went to talk to old people, old gray-haired people, and bald-headed people that had money and kept it. See, I don't want to talk to young rich people. I've been one of those. I want my opinion. It didn't work, you know? And so I went and talked to people that won, and I started discovering this disturbing thing called common sense. Turns out it's like Benjamin Franklin used to say, nothing's more uncommon than common sense. And I started applying these devastatingly simple, easy to understand but hard to do things to my life, and it started revolutionizing my life. My wife Sharon and I were able to turn around and start walking together again. We had a sense of control, a sense of destiny. And now many years later, we've led literally millions upon millions of individuals and families all around the world through these simple steps, through this simple process. And it's not magical. It's really, really hard. There's no big secret. There's no mystical thing here. It's tough. So if you're in this room and you know you're looking for a You're looking for a microwave, you're looking for a get-rich-quick thing, you're in the wrong room. You're in the wrong room. We sell crock pots. The stuff we teach is hard to do, but it absolutely works. But what we figured out is 98% truth is a lie, so you've got to align yourself with the truth. And when we found that, we were able to win. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Everybody stand up for a second. You see, what happens is this. Here's what I want you to do. All the time that we're together, you have to play my games, or I will mess with you. Okay? If you don't play my games, I'll mess with you. Because here's the deal. If you play my games, then you learn and things happen for you. So here's what we're going to do. I need everybody in the place right now to close your eyes. Now, if I could have my staff collect your wallets. You think we got financial peace. Now, so with everybody's eyes closed, seriously, here's what I want you to do. Don't open, no cheating, no looking around, no giving anybody a hint. And everybody's got to play. You can be wrong and I won't make fun of you. You don't play, I will mess with you. With your eyes closed, I want you to point north. No, ma'am, up does not count. And you have to try. I don't care if you're right or not, but you at least have to try. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. Okay. Stick with your answer. Open your eyes and look around. Oh, my goodness. According to my compass, north is right through there. Have a seat. That one guy, I told you I won't make fun of you, so I won't say where he was, but he was pointing exactly the wrong way. And I said north, it looked like a cheerleading move. He changed so fast, he didn't want his wife to see change that. But you know what? You know what we just discovered? Sometimes your feelings will trick you. If you go with your feelings, you're going to be lost. You know, some of you are like pretzels. I mean, you just totally, you had no idea. And you played along, and I appreciate that. But the truth is, I don't care what you feel. My job is to totally hurt your feelings until you get it that that's north. And if that makes you mad, or it makes your spouse mad, or it makes your broke mother mad, I don't care. That's north. We're going to keep talking about that, keep talking about that, and keep talking about that all through Financial Peace University until you can align your behaviors with that, and then you will have a sense of protection, a sense of destiny, a sense of control, a sense of confidence, and a sense of future on where you're going with your money and with your life. But as long as you're out here doing this over here, and that's not north, and you're trying all this other garbage, you're going to be in pain. But when Sharon and I got on Bead North, it rocked our world. It changed our lives. It was powerful. And what we've discovered is that the normal average American is facing the exact same kinds of things. I mean, when we look at studies, what we find is stuff like this. The Wall Street Journal says 70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That means if in your mind's eye right now you count 10 houses on your street, 7 of them have too much month left at the end of the money. 3 out of 10 of those houses are having fun. The rest of them, on bill night, the kids go to the neighbors. Because we're going to fight. There's stress in this house. There's this sense of out of control. There's this sense of I'm lost and spinning in circles. 70% are living paycheck to paycheck. Not me, Dave. I live in an upper class neighborhood. I know the actual studies tell us in that neighborhood it's more like 8 out of 10 are living paycheck to paycheck. Because we're looking good and got no money. Totally broke. And that's what all the studies are telling us. It's out of control. And the weird thing is, the Marist Institute did a study that says 55% of Americans are always or sometimes worried about their money. Now, when you put this together, it gets a little bit funny. 70% are living paycheck to paycheck. 55% are worried about it. The other 15% are having a Prozac moment. Just too stupid to worry about it. I mean, something's up here and something's got to change. You know, what we've done is discovered that we finally found a picture that pretty well outlines what the average American family's finances look like. People come in our office look like that all the time. They're going, Dave, we just can't get traction. Say, yeah, it's because you overloaded your donkey. Yeah. Or you're like these two guys where you think the grace period is the time you spend praying for the money to make your payment. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk you through 13 different lessons, actually 12 lessons with a bonus lesson. Each of these lessons are designed to be worth more than what you paid to go through the course. Your return on investment ought to be about tenfold per lesson. And that's not instantaneous. That's throughout the scope of your life. Again, this is not get rich quick, and it's not easy. If you're looking for easy, you're in the wrong room. This is tough. The only thing I'll promise you is if you do the things I teach you over time, over and over and over and over again, they will work.
Financial Peace University is not just a class that you go through. It really is a lifestyle change.
I suddenly realized that I had $900 a month that was going no place. I had no idea where I was going.
The credit card debt, it wasn't a lot. $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 at a time. But for me, that was overwhelming because I couldn't see the way out.
Our first...
We'll pick up a little more about this in our mission presentation.